Well, hello, University Covenant Church, and anyone else who's watching on this special Easter Sunday. You know, I just thought we should probably read one of the passages that form the foundation of the day that we are celebrating. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read a longer passage about what happened on this Resurrection Sunday, what happened on Easter, and the reaction to it afterwards that really changed. And I'm not even exaggerating here, literally changed world history. Luke 24, starting in verse 1. On the first day of the week, this is a Sunday, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. We're going to skip forward to verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of their joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. This, my friends, is the story that changed history. Jesus literally died, and to the surprise of everyone, even his most loyal followers, he conquered death, rose from the dead. It wasn't just a ghost or an image, but he was a physical presence that people touched, they saw his wounds, and he actually ate in front of them. One of the things that happened after that is that those who saw Jesus and spent a number of days with him dedicated the rest of their lives to telling people what they experienced, trying to convince people that this literally happened. Here's an example. One of the disciples, one of the remaining 11, his name was John, and he wrote several letters in the Bible. Let me read a portion of one of the letters in 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. He says this, "We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard." This is, we want you to know. Why? So that you may have fellowship with us. It's this idea of, we want you to know so we can connect over this. And then he says, "And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Not only do we want you to connect with us, we want you to connect with us as we connect to God and to Jesus. And he says, "We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy." This event changed history, and a group of people dedicated the rest of their lives to say, "Look, we experienced and saw something. We have something in our story that we need to relay to you." As we celebrate Easter Day, this is my hope for those of you who are familiar with the Jesus story, or maybe even following Jesus for years, is that you would have a refresh of why this day was so important. You know, I joke, Tiffany, our worship leader, and I had this running joke. We often have Zoom calls together with certain teams, and she will share her screen, and she uses Google Chrome as her web browser. And now and then, and I'll show a picture of this, in the upper right-hand corner of her screen, it says update. And I have found that Tiffany rarely updates Google Chrome. She really rarely shuts down her Google Chrome, so it doesn't update automatically. So there's a way for me, as she is sharing her screen, to take over the screen and draw an arrow to that update button and circle it. And I do that pretty much anytime I see this, and it frustrates her to no end, but it makes me happy. Now we have a good relationship, so we have a lot of fun over this. I want for you, what I hope for Tiffany, is that you will refresh your screen, that you will refresh your faith, that you'll kind of have an update to go, oh, this is what is going on. Oh, now I get it. Now I get why this is so important. And now I get why Jesus' resurrection actually has on-the-ground implications for me today. Here's the thing about Easter. Here's the thing about Jesus' resurrection. It's the linchpin of the Christian faith. Now, when I say linchpin, I'll show you another picture here in a moment, but the word linchpin comes because when in the olden days, when people put wheels on spokes, they wouldn't stay on, the wheels would fall off. And so they would put a pin on that spoke to keep the wheel on. That pin was called a linchpin. Jesus' resurrection is the linchpin of the Christian faith. If it's not there, everything falls apart. You can't talk about Christianity, you can't talk about the Christian faith and ignore, because everything depends on this one moment. Did it happen or did it not? Paul, when he was writing to one of the churches he started, said, and if Christ has not been raised, if this didn't happen, our preaching is useless. He goes, fire me. And he says, and so is your faith. Stop now. I mean, if this didn't happen, stop it. It doesn't even make sense anymore. Just quit, resign. This Christian faith is a farce. Let it go. Because everything depends on whether this was a historic fact that changed the lives of people. So here's why this is so important. Because if this was true, if Jesus actually literally died, and if on Easter Sunday he actually conquered death, came back in a refreshed and new body, and if people actually saw him and experienced him, it wasn't this ghost or a vision or a hallucination, but they literally saw a dead person come back to life a few days later, then it has some real implications for you and for me. Certain things, if they are true, have very pragmatic implications. If someone emailed you and said, hey, go to this person's house and he or she will give you $3 million, you have to look at that email and say, if this is true, this has real implications for me. If it doesn't, I'm just going to ignore it. But if it's true, I'm going to leave my house and go to this person's house and get the money. If it's not true, I'm going to let it go. Easter Sunday is the same way. If this is true, you can't just go, oh, that's interesting. That's good news. Check. It actually will change the way you think and change the way you live. It will reorient your life into what life is about, how you think about life, and how you live the day-to-day. Let me give some examples of what this means. If this happened, if Jesus conquered death and came back from the dead, then you can actually go back to what he says about himself and say, maybe he's telling the truth. One of the things he said over and over again is that he is the perfect representation of who God is, that God actually became flesh through Jesus. And if you know him, you know what God is like. So the one implication is that we now know what God is like because Jesus's identity is confirmed, that God in his love for you and me actually visited us in human form to show us what he was like. Another thing that this is true shows us is that we all have a sin problem. One of the things that Jesus says is that he came to give his life as a ransom for our sins. We are not people, we are beloved, we are created good, but we are broken people who have turned away from God and have began to put our value and our worship in things other than God, and that has eternal implications. We have a diagnosis that we cannot ignore anymore, that you and I have sinned, are sinners without God, and that we need help or else our eternal destiny is at stake. We need to believe that that's really true. We have an accountability to God. The other thing that this shows that this is true is not only do we have an accountability before God that we're going to be held to, but that Jesus came so that we can be forgiven. That through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God in His love, if we believe and trust Him, will give us His purity, His righteousness, so we no longer have to live under guilt and shame. If this is true, it implies that God, through Jesus, has adopted us into His family. We can now relate to God in a different way. We can talk to Him as our Heavenly Father. It also means that we've been adopted into a family, that we have a new spiritual family of others, brothers and sisters who are on this journey with us, and our family has expanded beyond our biological family. It means that it's actually true that God yearns to give us His presence, His Spirit in our lives, who instructs us and changes us from the inside out. It also means that after our death, if we believe that Jesus' resurrection is true, that we get an inheritance and we get what Jesus got, a new body, a new life after death. We have a life after death that's eternal, that we too will conquer death through Jesus Christ. Jesus did all of this work, if this is true. And our role is just to say yes to this adventure. There's no more need to strive. It's all been done for us. And now we are receivers of God, and it reorients all our life. We have a new relationship with God, a new purpose, a new relationship with one another. Only if this is true. So my question is, wouldn't this be great if this were really true? That Jesus actually conquered death? Wouldn't the implications for how you think and how you live change everything? So here's what I want to say. Is this true? Here's what we know. And I've shared this before, but there's three things that almost everyone agrees on. I say almost because there are a few exceptions, but whether you're a Christian or not Christian, historians will believe this. I want to share these three things to help either refresh your minds about God, or if you're still considering whether this was true, to help you on that journey to consider. Here's number one that we all know is true. Jesus actually died. That's the first thing. Jesus actually died. This wasn't this like, oh, did He really die or not? He actually died. He was killed on a cross. The Roman soldiers, when nighttime came, were about to break the bones in His legs, because I won't get into all the details, but by doing so, He wouldn't be able to breathe and die. They got to Him. He was clearly already dead. He had been beaten and bruised and punched around, whipped and flogged. And so instead, they put a spear in His side, and fluids of blood and water came out, which show that He was dead. There was no controversy about that. When Jesus' body disappeared from the grave, none of the people who opposed the idea of His resurrection said, well, He never really died. People were convinced the guy was dead. Dead is dead. That's the first thing. The second thing that everyone agrees on, more or less, is that Jesus' grave was empty on Sunday. Now, they'll argue what happened there. You know, they'll talk about what happened, but there is this consensus that the grave was empty. Here's why. Because the grave wasn't empty. All His opposition had to do was go back to the grave and say, hey, there's the body, y'all. He did not come back from life. So as people began to say, we saw Jesus, He's alive, the proof was, if you want to argue against it, you seem to show the body. But no one showed the body. No one argued that the grave wasn't empty. We know the grave was empty. The big controversy is, well, what happened to the body? Here's the third thing that almost all people agree. In fact, almost all the New Testament after the Gospels is about this, is that disheartened, despondent, depressed people who saw Jesus die became incredibly turned around in their attitude in a very short amount of time. They went from despondent to courageous and hopeful. In fact, most of Jesus' remaining 11 disciples died because they were teaching the good news that they experienced Jesus in real life after He had died. They said they saw Jesus, and it wasn't a bruised and battered and limping Jesus. It was Jesus with a new body. He had some wounds, but some people say He kept those wounds as a mark of His love for people. But his body was refreshed. He ate and he drank. And people had a huge change in attitude. And they traveled from city to city to share this news. They were killed for it. They were whipped for it. They were tortured for it. They went into hiding for this. There was a commitment to share this that was worth their lives. Let me give some examples. Peter, one of Jesus' main disciples, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, actually in the morning Jesus was betrayed, he denied Jesus and said he knew nothing about it. To save his own life, he disassociated himself from Jesus. This guy became one of the most prolific speakers of Jesus because he had an interaction with Jesus afterwards where Jesus forgave him and he ate breakfast with Jesus. James, one of the 12 of the remaining disciples, the book of Acts, it says he was killed for his faith, for sharing this good news. There's another James who is the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus. And if you look at Jesus' life, most of his family, maybe except for his mom, really doubted Jesus and thought he was crazy. They're like, dude, we grew up with you. We know who you are. Why are you saying all these amazing things about yourself? So they just thought he was a little crazy. But after Jesus' death and resurrection, his brother had such a change of heart, he became the leader of the church in Jerusalem, the leader of a group of people who worshiped Jesus, and his faith was solidified. My favorite disciple story is Thomas. Thomas was a twin, and I'm going to guess that he was an identical twin, because when he heard from the other disciples that they saw Jesus, I think he thought to himself, no, I get this. I'm a twin. I have played so many tricks on my teachers on this. I have fooled so many friends. Me and my brother, we know how to do this. So the fact that you saw someone that looked like Jesus does not convince me at all. But then Jesus appeared to Thomas, and Thomas saw him face to face and touched his wounds. And Thomas, the disciple who knows what it's like to fool other people with identical twins, became 100% convinced that the Jesus he saw die was now alive again. And he became a convert and began to change his life as well. You may push back on why Jesus' body was gone, but what you can't push back against is that hundreds of people had their lives changed when they said they saw and interacted with Jesus over a period of a number of weeks, alive and well. So those are the three things I want you to sit on. Jesus died, the grave was empty, and hundreds of people became witnesses to Jesus' life, and it wasn't just intellectual, but their lives fundamentally transformed to the point that they were willing to live a life that was incredibly difficult for sharing this news. So here's what I want to say. For those of you who are just celebrating this fact, and those of you who are trying to still figure it out, I just want to say in the clutter of life and the busyness of life, it's so easy not to make room for the most important questions. Why am I here? Why do I exist? What's the grand story of this universe that we're in? Instead of going day to day and trying to get the kids to school and going to the jobs and getting food and finding your right relationship, all those are great and important, but all those are byproducts of the greater question. What is really true? Why do we exist? Is there a God? What we believe is that Jesus is the center of it all, that God chose to reveal himself through Jesus. And so we all owe it to ourselves. You owe it to yourself as a growing, curious, and open person just to take time and consider what actually happened on Easter Sunday. Now, you can decide after you look at this and study this, I don't believe it. That's your prerogative. I'm not going to force that. But you at least need to stop and ask the questions. Please don't just ignore this good news. Please don't just ignore this change of history, this change of the course of human history. You at least owe it to yourself as a responsible person just to say, what do I believe about this? And if it's true, what does it mean? Is it possible that God is who he says he is? Is it possible that God showed himself what he's like through Jesus? Because if it's true, then we can throw away the Santa Claus grandparent image of God that, oh, no matter what we do, God is just loving. God is loving, but he also says that we are accountable to him. that he created us to worship him, that we are best fit to worship him. And we don't do that, there's a break in our relationship with that has consequences. We have to throw away that image, but we also have to throw away the authoritarian, distant God figure that's just always angry. Because if you look at Jesus, we get a more accurate picture of God. God who is incredibly loving and is incredibly holy and will pursue you when you turn your back on him. And you're the only one, and I'm the only one responsible if our back keeps being turned against him. He is wooing you. He is wooing me. Now, if this is true, what does it take to be a recipient of this good news? Now, here's the good news. The work has been done. Jesus has already, this is not striving more. It's not time to try harder. But the message of the cross, the message of the resurrection is God has done the work. Your job is just to receive it and to trust it. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, that means he's your leader, he's in charge, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, everything we just talked about, it says, you will be saved. In other words, God's already done the work. But if you actually believe this, proclaim it, change, it actually affects your heart, God says, you've now received this good news. Everything of the implications are now yours. Acts 2, 38 through 39, when Peter's talking to people who want to receive this good news, he says, repent. That means change your ways and be baptized. There's a ceremony we go through here in the church of being baptized as a symbol that you are now receiving this amazing news of Jesus rising from the dead. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit in you. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So here, as we end this time, I want to ask you, what do you believe about Jesus' resurrection? If it's true, then we get a new picture of God. We worship him neither as the grandfather Santa Claus character, neither as the authoritarian distant, but as a loving father who leads, who loves, who has a way for us to live. It means that we can now receive his righteousness and forgiveness. It means that you can now relate to God as your heavenly father. Now you have a new family of brothers and sisters. It means that God's Spirit is in you, that he has a purpose for you. It means you belong to a wider body called the church. It means that you have an inheritance, that Jesus is a preview of what life looks like after death. God's done all the work. He's done all the striving. Your job is just to receive and live knowing it's true. Happy Easter, everyone. This is an amazing moment. Jesus proved that he's bigger than death. He's bigger than sin. He's bigger than brokenness. He's bigger than all that is wrong with the world. He has risen from the dead. He has risen indeed. Happy Easter.